What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 122, I believe, of the Backlog Podcast. I am Jim. That is Kevin. Or over here. You're over here today. Ah, why can't I hear you, though? Are you still muted on your end?
Probably because I muted myself so that we can start this podcast off right with audio issues. Coming from my end. Understand, Jim, when you do it, it's on my end still. So who's the common denominator?
Me. Denominator X.
That's right.
That's right, right?
That's where the name came from. Kind of that mentality. Mm-hmm. Denominator X.
And
I'm posting a video right now.
Are you? Is it that awesome intro that you made that we just got to watch? Because that thing is fucking phenomenal.
No. You like that? I'm glad you like it.
I like it. I can't tell you how much I like it. I like it so much. I'm good, and I try to show it off as much as I can because I love it that much.
That's awesome.
You're a goddamn wizard.
Right, let me just finish. Hey, I like doing what I do. It's interesting, especially now that I am getting into let me just put a couple of hashtags. What's some hashtags? Let's put
You gotta go to allhashtag.com or whatever. You type in the subject you're looking for, you hit generate, and boom, you get a bunch of recommendations. You copy and paste them. Good as done.
All right. I got a couple in here. That'll do. All right. So yeah, been playing around with the Unreal Engine. And I gotta tell you, I'm excited about what we've got coming down the pike, or at least in my mind. You know, mm-hmm. I can't promise anything because to start a project and to end a project are two different things. But
right.
I started getting deep into this 3D modeling. I decided to try to recreate the Sportatorium again, but I want to put it inside of Unreal Engine. Mm-hmm. It got my mind wandering. I got a lot of ideas for things. And I'm looking at this, you know, this 5-hour tutorial that we talked about last week, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go into The Sims and you create Sim City or your Sim world. You know, you can start at the high level, you can go down to the low level, but you legit have tools like that to create your gaming world. And I'm just looking at this thing as if it's this virtual Hollywood, this virtual California. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, so I don't know. It's just a world that you can craft that is so lifelike.
Yeah, like California was so special early on because it had great weather. It had every type of weather they needed, from snow to, you know, beachy suns. Mm-hmm. Sunny beaches. Beachy suns.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Beachy suns. So, you know, they have every type of terrain, all that stuff in California. And so within one hub, they could film everything that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the advent of the technology and the computers and all the CGI, it was only a matter of time that the industry, you know, remained in Hollywood. And now you're seeing shows get New Orleans, like Louisiana specifically, offered incentives to film there. Atlanta, Georgia is a big hub now. In Georgia, they offered incentives to film there.
But you can create these lifelike scenes and... like you're anywhere, you know, you don't have to go anywhere.
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, maybe it's going to take some time to even learn the basics, but maybe I'm not going to create Avatar, but why the fuck wouldn't I be able to, you know, when you look at like some of these games that are, you know, Just Cause 4, for example, the quality of the graphics in that show or in that game are the equivalent of a, you know, in a decent TV show with explosions. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, you can tell it's a game, but that's within the engine, and that's what they chose. They could have made it more lifelike, if they're rendering a cutscene, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're rendering movies within this thing, you can legit decide. You just have to take the time to do it. So I have to build. Do I want a beach scene? Do I want this? Do I want that? I don't need the whole place to be this playable area. I just need scenes. So I can make this land and say, okay, I'm going to make my own virtual traversable Hollywood area with different scenes. And then we can revisit those scenes via camera controls like a video game. And we can revisit that shit and come at these scenes from different angles. So if I do choose to build the babyface and the heel set within a studio inside of the Unreal Engine to get the angle from the cameras that I want, I literally go into it in video game mode with mouse and keyboard and move it around and set the camera up that way.
That's crazy.
And I render it. And the quality of it looks good enough for me now, but I can amplify it and render it in full resolution at the end.
That's so insane. Anyways,
episode 122, and it took us 122 episodes, or 120 episodes, to get on the Let's Make a Games bandwagon.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that weird?
I know. It's about time. We're overdue. So
I ain't going to play the games I own. Why not make some?
Yeah, so we have there's more games to play.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We'll make more games to play. I'll make a game that you have to play and test so that you can't play the games you're supposed to play to knock off the
backlog. This goes on and on. On and on and on.
All right, go. Puppies, go. We got some crazy dogs over here. So what you been playing this week?
This week, well, I finished Resident Evil 7. I beat Resident Evil 8, and then we started Resident Evil 7. And I just finished that a couple of days ago. Sorry, I'm looking for our overlay here. So we did that. And because I had forgotten, after I had beaten Resident Evil 8, I was like, all right, I need to remember what the hell happened in 7. So I went back and played that and kind of put everything together. So that felt pretty good. 7 is short, man. I like 7 a lot, but it took me like 2.25-ish streams to beat it.
You ever play it in the VR?
No, that's why I didn't play it immediately when it came out, because I was like, oh man, I'm going to wait for VR for this. It's going to be great, you know.
It's something else in VR, man.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine. I can imagine it's awesome. Sorry, guys, if you see that popping up there, I'm just trying to get our overlay up here. But I've been playing that, and the other thing I've been playing is I'm sure I've brought this up before, but that West of Loathing game, because it's good to hop on. You can play it for a couple of minutes if only got a couple of minutes, play a little bit, shut it off, come back to it.
I think I've made you a true convert to this digital lifestyle of gaming. Look at what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
You just jump on real quick and play this game and jump off.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game that you got to play that you wouldn't have had you had to get up and change discs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you wouldn't have thought to do that. And if you... Well, okay, there's people who would say, no, I definitely would. And you're getting more exercise than me. But the reality is, not everyone's going to do it. The ease of access.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was looking more into the Netflix aspect of this, and it was a couple months ago. But the... Someone had reported that they have some type of job opening or had a job opening for a high-level gaming director type position that other companies had to create similar positions when they were starting Stadia and, you know, like Google started Stadia, Amazon started Luna. So it's a position.
Yeah. Right?
Head of whatever department. I forget the name of it. But... So in streaming services, they now have enough of them to where multiple people have become the corporate head of a division over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's starting to become a real thing across these major corporations, enough to where the biggest one to this day, Netflix is the biggest dog on campus when it comes to streaming services outside of any porn websites or whatever I'd imagine. But reality is between, I think Netflix still has more video consumption than any other site, and then I think Amazon or YouTube is second. That could be backwards, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah.
Them getting into the gaming space means it's working. It means this style of gaming is working. Now that you've a chance to play it, what are some of the things that you see? Aside, we've already been over the fact that you like and prefer digital or physical copies over digital. But mm-hmm. aside from that, what are some things you would want to see for this to be more mainstream, so that next generation more people would be doing cloud gaming as opposed to console gaming?
better internet connections from the providers. That's what we need, because honestly, even with streaming on Twitch, like I never know. You know, I was like, should we do it on my channel? Is my internet going to crap out? Is it going to be all right? That's the only problem with it. That's my big pet peeve with it, is just that you have to rely on that internet connection. If you don't have that and it's crap and you don't have a stable connection, it's going to suck. It's going to be pretty much unplayable. Yep. But other than that, I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, obviously, also another key aspect would be variety of games, right? They have a lot, but there's a lot of games you can't get, as opposed to the fact, you know, they have a lot, but they don't have the Xbox library. You know,
they don't have exclusives. So, they don't have, you know, that sort of thing.
But, you know, as this area grows and as companies are willing to work with, you know, maybe it's not Stadia. Maybe it's not Luna. Maybe it is Netflix that comes along and makes this process the most streamlined and the best serviced to the people that play. I think it's pretty damn easy, but at the same time, I deal with controller issues all the time. And so take the proprietary out of it. Take the controller out of it, which is a great concept if you could just walk around and use it. But, you know, I have four controllers. They all do the same thing. I power it on. I can't connect to the game, no matter where. I got to go into the app. I got to disconnect the controller from my Wi-Fi. I got to reconnect it. Now I'm reading today, because I was asking questions about it, and I'm reading today, someone was saying, oh, it's because you're probably connecting it. It's on a different Wi-Fi signal than the device you're trying to play to. I said, well, that shouldn't fucking matter. That shouldn't fucking matter at all, because I can connect over Wi-Fi on my controller, and I could be broadcasting to my phone, which is on my phone service, not the same Wi-Fi connection. Now, maybe that's my problem, and that I think that's supposed to be possible, and it's not, but what's the difference if my TV, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking off base here, but why should the controller is connected to the internet. It's sending its results to the internet, not the game. The game is displaying from the internet its results from the controller. It's going, the controller I'm sending the signals to, and the TV are both, it's happening overseas. It's happening on a hub. Do you feel me?
I feel you.
So why do they have to be on the same fucking Wi-Fi? Because it's not going in.
Because nothing's ever easy, man. Nothing's ever goddamn easy. Everything's a fucking struggle when it should be simple.
It should be simple. But you know what? The fact is, they're servicing you games. Click of a button, you're in it. For the most part, quality is pretty good. They just added support for the Google Chromecast as a device. There's a device for a Chromecast that has a central hub, like a Fire TV stick. It's awesome. I recommend that device over top of all the other streaming devices. I just like it. It's faster. The interface is pretty snappy. It's better than a Roku. It seems more powerful. And they added Stadia to it. And so now you could just go to that and click on Stadia. It's starting to make me feel like these services are about to really bust out. Mm-hmm. And in order to do so, like you said, the internet connections have to be key, which leads me to another topic.
But that's not on Stadia. I mean, that's not their fault. It's the
ISP's fault, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. MMA Mark, shout out to Buddy. He plays not competitively, but he plays very competitively mentally in UFC 4. And in that game, any type of lag seems to really cause an impact to someone who knows what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, sure.
We've been having internet issues here at this house, and they're not our upload speeds are abysmal. So that's us sending our basically he might be seeing his input lag because it's taking longer for him to send his signal to the server. He's pressing the button at the right time, but a nanosecond is a nanosecond, and if the other guy's getting his move off first, and it's Comcast doing it because they're throttling our fucking upload speed. I pay for unlimited gigabit internet, and we're getting sub 20 megabits up.
Yeah, that's insane.
It doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. And so for this to work, I got to be able to send my data back just as fast as I receive it. In that environment, it's just as important. Now, they need to optimize the game so that what I have to send is not as big as what I receive, right? Because the video, all that. I'm just resending coordinates, code, whatever. But they shouldn't fucking throttle that. They need to work. These companies like Google and Apple and all these gaming companies, streaming gaming companies, need to work with these ISPs and open up some fucking sockets or whatever they need to do to streamline this type of service behind the scenes. People shouldn't be paying for it. These companies are multi-billion-dollar corporations. They should be working deals so that when I need to download a fucking update for a game, that ain't impacting my bottom line mm-hmm. at my ISP. Like, Sony should be paying that fucking bill. You know what I mean? Sony needs to say, hey, and that's what they're doing with these services, right? There is no updates. You're not downloading a terabyte a game. And so there's that. But then they're only giving you a 10 megabytes upload, 20 megabytes upload to be able to communicate in this game. It's bullshit.
Yeah, that's not right.
You'll never be able to be like the Buddhist playing Call of Duty like a fucking marksman when you might have nanosecond delays in your input lag. And he knows what I'm talking about.
Donna's coming over here. There you go. You have a guest. This doesn't look like RE7. It's because it's not RE7. That was last time. No, but I did see on Stadia that I think this weekend Borderlands 3 is free up there to play or something?
Yep, free to play. Mm-hmm. I already own it on a different console, so I was tempted every time it's on sale. And you know I'm tempted to do this Ubisoft great at all times. I'm looking at this Ubisoft monthly Ubisoft thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting it. Not yet. But there will come a time soon when I actually start tackling this backlog. And I know I say it every week, but I got myself unhooked from Tarkov, and now I'm focused on some digital shit again, the stadium and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. when I get back into gaming, it's going to be to knock out some games. And I'm looking at this Uplay Pass, which is available now on all these streaming services. That's so if I pay for it, I can connect it. It's the Ubisoft's, and I like this concept. They're saying access all of our games that exist for $20 a month. And we're talking the brand new game Valhalla. We're talking the oldest Assassin's Creed. You can go play the entire fucking catalog. You can play old games from, other systems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think it's $20 a month. You get a month free or 15 days free. But you can go connect it to all these different so I can go into Luna, connect my Uplay account. I can go into Stadia, do the same thing. And the game, I believe, synchronizes accordingly.
I feel that would make me feel pressured to, like, play as many games as I could. Like, that would pressure me to play more video games. And I could see why that's a good thing on their end, but I would be like...
Yeah.
That's just, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, they don't...
Because I would feel like I'm not getting my money's worth if I'm not fucking playing all those games that I'm paying for.
But if you buy Valhalla day one, right, and it's $60, mm-hmm. that's 3 months of this service, mm-hmm. right? If you beat the game in a month, now you're saving money just out the gate. And mm-hmm. so now you pay $40 that you didn't pay.
There's a lot of factors too, because is it a game you're gonna replay?
We're talking Steiner math.
Do you play games once and never again? Do you like?
So if the only game you're playing,
do you sell your
you
games?
Can buy outright. So let's say you play World of Warcraft and you buy it, whatever it costs, plus you have to pay the monthly fee to play World of Warcraft. Or game like Call of Duty, you buy the base game. $60. You don't have to pay a monthly fee to play for it in perpetuity until they close the servers down. Or Stadia, you play, or EA, the EA pass that they have that Buddhist is talking about, and you get access to those games and more. Right? If you play that so this is what I was going to get at is I'm looking at the catalog of Uplay games. And there's like at least 5 or 6 games that are currently on my backlog that are from that catalog. And so it would behoove me to, I even own them. I own 2 Assassin's Creed games on different systems. But I would rather play them all through Stadia. Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of Stadia, is that I can play it anywhere. And so, yes, I have a gaming PC. Yes, I have all this other stuff, but if I'm going to play this game, I'd like to play it wherever the fuck I want to play it. And so during the Amazon Prime Day thing, I bought this. It's a Razer something. Ishii. And I don't know if you can tell what it is really, but long story short, it's this little portable thing that folds up and turns into a phone controller. And it stretches out, snaps over your phone, you can charge your phone with it. And it's actually the highest quality one of these I've ever got my hands on. I've tried a couple different ones, because when I was playing the Stadia, I'm like, you know, I want to be able to have portable gaming. So I got put your phone on the top of an Xbox controller, you know, whatever, right? All these things. And I never really did it. Well, this makes your phone a Nintendo Switch. Yeah. It's about the size of a Switch. And it feels comfortable in the hands, and so I can play Stadia right there. And if in Stadia, I can connect to even more games like the EA Pass and the Ubisoft Pass. That's where I'd like to play most of my games this generation, if I can. Mm-hmm. And then I can also pull up my PlayStation 5 and play it on there too, through the same pass, because I pay for the pass. It's not the pass per system. And I like this mentality. I really like being able to take a pack of games to whatever system I want. Mm-hmm. When you have this problem with crossplay, and they say, oh, well, whatever. Like, why would you buy, if you play all these Ubisoft games, why would you buy Valhalla at $60 and not the Play Pass if you own multiple systems? As long as the internet connections, and well, even without the internet connection, you could still log into your PlayStation and play the same exact game.
Unless
download
you want
it to your
that
system.
Physical copy. Hey,
punch. There it is.
Danny McBride, thank you.
Not Danny McBride. You know, not Danny McBride. I watched a show that didn't have you in it. Or a movie called Tropic Thunder recently, and I gotta say, and this is nothing, I'm not directing this to you in any way, shape, or form, but that movie was awesome. You had nothing to do.
Not a thing. Not a thing. Because that's not Danny McBride.
Okay. Definitely not Danny
DeVito. Oh my god.
So,
but, oh, I'm just going to remind everyone what that speechless. Is up over there. Oh, where the hell is it? There. Movember and the stuff we played in the beginning.
Oh, yes.
Until the 30th, I'm doing, normally you'll see me doing this all of November for Movember, where I'll shave my face clean and we will grow just a stash for Movember. Oh, shit. Hey, backlog time. Ho. But yeah, it's for, they're an awesome organization. We've been raising money for about, this will be our third year doing it. Last year we raised about $1,000. It's for men's mental health awareness and suicide prevention. They also have some really cool research programs for prostate cancer and testicular cancer. And super awesome people. Really easy to get in touch with. They've been super responsive and just awesome. They hosted up the stream the other day and came by, and you know, that was really cool.
Yep.
So thanks again
to
them.
I gotta say, because Jim's a little humble, but I gotta say, Jim does an awesome job at putting this stuff in front of people, giving people resources. And I wanted to follow up with a little story that kind of goes along the lines. And this sounds a little cheesy, but you know, it is what it is. I am a fast typer, fast computer navigator type person, right? When I'm playing, I need higher speeds on my mouse. I gotta, you know, I can get with keyboard shortcuts and everything, I'm getting around my mouse or my computer pretty fast. Well, I'm doing a podcast. Do you want to say hi to everybody? No? All right. I gave him a chance. Go ask mom. Yes, well, this goes along with it, Buddhist. Let me run a fucking podcast. I got 122 of them in the belt.
It's a banter. It's a back and forth.
It's a banter. And so, anyways, I have been getting disgruntled at work, but not for any one particular reason. And it's been building up for a long fucking time. And it feels really uncomfortable to not have a reason to be disgruntled at a job that you genuinely like. I like the people I work with. I like, you know, so it's weird. It makes you feel weak mentally or whatever, right? So you don't want to say nothing. Now, one of the frustrations I have at work is that my computer was terrible. It's a long, stupid story, but when I came to the team I'm on, I got upgraded to a computer that was basically the same computer I was on. And that was 4 years ago. The computer I was on was 6 years old. So I'm over here working in 2021 on a computer that was around in 2011. And it just to click the start button, it would take 4 seconds to just pop up. And then, you know, sometimes I could navigate pretty good.
That's awful.
But it was just really, it was awful. And the thing is, I knew I had to wait till October of 2021 to start the process for a new laptop. And then by the time I got one, it would be, you know, probably fucking early 2022. And the laptop I'd get would be old at that point. So anyways, just kind of manifested this thing. I just was like, I need a new fucking laptop. I need it. And I'm not, my boss, people said, drop it, throw it in the pool. You know, they can't, they have to get you a new one.
Yeah, but that's not my style.
I know. But, you know, in real life, I'm like, I have to deal with it. It's my responsibility. I'm going to take care of this laptop till it's time to turn it in. I put a ticket in, and I just was honest. It's not broken. It's just the worst fucking laptop, and I cannot perform my job at the ability I need to be able to do my job. And that was like literally Wednesday of last week. The guy calls me the next day. He's like, I think Juneteenth is going to be turned into a national holiday. I don't know if I can make this work or not. Usually they would say no because it's not out of warranty, but let me see if I can work my magic. I got that fucking computer on Tuesday, right? And I start setting it up, and by today, now I'm on it. Now I'm using it. Hmm. And it is, for working, it has changed my life. In okay, one day,
that's great.
I can tell a difference. And so, part of this Movember thing, I know it's my tangent, and sorry, Buddhist, if you don't like it, but, you know, it is the Backlog Podcast. is that if you don't speak up, if you don't address the issues that are pissing you off, it could be something as simple as that. Something you don't want to be a pain in the ass. Yeah, I know it's all love. I'm fucking. So you got to speak up. You got to be willing to seek it. We're all dealing with this shit. It sucks. Mm-hmm. And most people, myself included, won't seek the help because you're too proud or you're too smart or you're too busy or whatever. But all it took was reaching out and saying, listen, this is bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy fucking whoever, you know, he didn't have to, but he did. And in my case, I'm lucky. He didn't have to say yes. He could have easily not put the effort in to help me out. And it's going to make a difference in my work life balance. It's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. If you're waiting all day for computer lag, like that's insane. That's so frustrating.
Yeah. Going back to the input, I thought it was my internet connection and this and that. And then I get this computer and now I'm using the same tools and I'm just click, 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 going right through my job. Mm-hmm. Something that would take me literally a week ago was taking me 10, 15 minutes is now taking me 30 seconds or less. So, but yeah, even if it's something that you think might be small or no big deal, don't be proud. There's nothing proud about holding in pain. Even if it's something like that. I mean, I'm not saying run down the hallways complaining and bitching to everybody. What I'm saying is pick your battles, but don't be afraid to speak up for you, right? A lot of people who are especially selfless, who are willing to do things for other people, they are afraid to do for themselves. What the fuck does it mean coming from somebody who doesn't have self-respect, right? I mean, yeah, thanks. But you don't even care about yourself. Care about yourself before you're giving other people yourself, right? You gotta care. God, kick ass. Kick ass for you and kick ass for everybody else. But you rock too. You gotta remember that. And so that's what this movement is all about. That's what Jim talks about. That's what Movember is about. And donations through him make him feel good, right? Absolutely. Supporting him through his channel.
Absolutely.
That helps him. That's because he's trying to make sure that he's getting through to people because he wants to help people.
Mm-hmm. So we make a difference. You know, we're a small community, but we've done awesome, awesome things. Like I said, last November, we raised like a grand, which was amazing. So I'm shooting for two in November. Come Movember, I'm shooting for two. I think we can do it.
Don't hold back with requests on what you want me to build. Just give me some time beforehand. We'll make it a fucking production, dude. Mm-hmm. By November, I'll have a stadium for you. Like a fucking, like a, what's that? What,
yo, here's
was
what
Arizona, they do the Joshua tree. Yeah. I'll build you a Joshua tree set for a fucking Movember stream. People won't be able to tell the difference.
Yo, here's what we do.
They'll think you're up there on stage with Silvicious.
Here's what we do. Here's what we do. Because I did this at the brewery I work at too. I hosted a trivia, right? We gained like 300 or so bucks that night, and the restaurant gave like 10% of sales to the charity and shit. So that was awesome. But I was like, I want to rent like a tux this year. You should make me like a nice stage. Yes. I'll host like a virtual trivia. We can get donations. We can have some fun, whatever. Have some drinks.
That's what it's all about.
Make it in a classy event.
I'm going to take, I'm taking this, I bought the master class, the Unreal Sensei master class for Unreal Engine. And I talked last week about this 5-hour course. I really recommend it for people who are even remotely interested in 3D modeling or anything like that, or video game building, because I want people to see it, to see that they can do it too. I just like the other thing I was talking about with the computer, I've wanted to come up with video games, but my mentality is that instantly, like, no way, that's way too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people understand that, and so they're building tools to make it less and less difficult. And then there's people who are super cool, like this Unreal Sensei guy, who build tutorials for free, maybe for monetization, I guess. I mean, it's smart to build content, but I ain't paying for it. I log in, I watch their video, and then now I know how to do certain things in this tool. I'm going to take some classes in this Unreal Engine, and when I'm done, I'm going to take a couple of free tutorials online about lighting, lighting a scene, because that will probably help me. The lighting in Unreal Engine is so fucking real that people are blown away. In 2 weeks' time, there's so many videos and they're getting so many hits because people are going, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
The lighting makes such a difference. Real lighting. Lighting that reacts realistically to the eye, it makes it, we're bridging the gap of being able to understand that what you're seeing is real or fake. And
yeah,
every couple of years you get to a point where you say, wow, these graphics blow away the other graphics that I'm used to, that I used to think were amazing. Mm-hmm. At one point, Double Dribble looked like the best graphics in the world because they were. You know, we used to play Pong with a dot and we thought those graphics were good. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's getting closer to the, there's going to be no way to get better. And then we're going to get better. And we're going to look at the tools we have today, whether it be 5 or 10 years from now, and we're going to say, wow, those graphics look like shit compared to today. But we are at the point right now where those graphics that are the best in the business are free to use, free for you to get in and build a fucking video game that could make you millions of dollars.
We need to do it. We need to write a game.
It's the first time in life that's... Well, you know, I guess Unreal's been around for some time now, and I'm jumping in at 5, but this is nothing new. But when you put it all together, right, the lighting aspect and this nanite technology that they've implemented for Unreal Engine 5 is going to make it so that you can do this on lesser computers. I don't need a mega computer to build the game, and I can see it as is with these new lighting tools. It's something else, and movies are going to be something else as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if I learn lighting as well, and I can implement realistic lighting and just know how I have to come about it within the engine, and then I light it the same exact way in real life, that I can put me in the engine, and you will probably not be able to tell the difference, and I can put myself in Mordor or whatever else I fucking build. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Sky's the limit. And with
post-processing, you put it all together, and then you have yourself a movie or a video game or everything in between.
I want you to put these and cats have, in a scene and have them fight or fly in jets and shooting shit at each other and stuff.
Do you remember Toonsie Cat? Was it Toonsie?
I don't know that one, I don't think.
What was it? In SNL.
Oh. There's
a cat that was like...
Vaguely. I think I know what you're talking about, but vaguely.
Like, hail a cab and shit. I don't know. Yeah, exactly, Josh. There's a lot of people on YouTube just talking about 3D modeling, and you gotta... Sometimes people don't know what they want, that they have it as a passion. I didn't know. You know, one thing has led to another, and the deeper I get into the difficult shit... I remember trying to build a game a long time ago, and then I got RPG Maker, and I was really interested, but it was daunting. It's like, man, I got to make every asset, and then I got to find, I can do it, but do I want to spend all the time? And it's, mm-hmm. Now I understand why you got to build teams. And each person on that team has to have that same drive as you, or it's not going to get done. And now those teams are spread throughout the environment. I build a rock that I think looks really fucking cool, and I submit it inside this Unreal Engine. Other people can fucking download that rock.
Oh, yeah.
And your rock can end up in a video game. And those and you don't get a cut from it, right? But you can sell your rock. You can sell it in the marketplace.
Dude,
so you can make the rock in the fucking engine and sell it in the marketplace, yeah. And other people can come along and die. And you can say, hey, my rock is now in 17 games across fucking Unreal.
So that sounds... This is kind of similar, but... So in that Skater XL game or whatever, I think that's what it's called, but people can create their own skins and all this... craft their own stuff within that game. And my one buddy, Mr. DePenguin, crafted, like, I don't know, a skin, just like a beans. And it's gotten, like... crazy amounts of downloads, and I don't know if people are paying for it within the game or if they're just downloading it and using it within the game, but that just made me think of that, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the same concept. It's like they, you know, they have a marketplace, right? If you have if you have the Unreal, or I'm sorry, not the Unreal, the Epic Games downloader tool, like the Game Hub, then you have the Marketplace.
Yeah.
So inside of the Epic Games launcher, there's a button or a tab, I guess, or whatever, called UE5. There's one for UE4 and UE5. They're separate, right? UE5 is new. But within the Marketplace, most stuff has not come out for UE5 yet. It's still in early access. But you, what you would do is buy anything in UE4, load it up in UE4, and then import it into UE5. And it works.
Okay.
But for example, okay, inside this economy here, this store, Paragon. Do you remember the game Paragon? So Unreal, or I'm sorry, Epic Games had a game called Paragon. And when they really started putting their money into Fortnite, Paragon went bye-byes. And to the point where they folded the Paragon studio, or the studio that made the game for Paragon, and or at least the team, and they completely collapsed the game. And now you can go into Unreal Engine and you can get those game assets to use in games that you sell. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's fucking cool.
Yes, it's just they're shareable assets between the community, which is awesome.
Yep. And so if you go over, if you go to the Epic Games, you download the Unreal 5 engine, but on that Unreal Engine tab in the whatever, you can see how much free stuff is there. There's a free column, but you can also make stuff and sell it. And like I said, there people do that. I found the Colosseum that I've been working off of. Someone recreated it or used it. I don't know exactly where it came from, but you know, I'm like, do I want to recreate it myself in the engine, which I've been trying to do, and it's a pain in the ass. I'm going to learn a lot, or do I want to just buy it for $50 and give credit back to the economy? And, you know, do I need to do the artwork to be happy? That's what I wanted it to look like, and I can take the time. I know how, right? But it's kind of like Call of Duty, right? I know how to get the fucking guns. I just got to grind for it. Or I just want to pay the $50 and fast travel to the guns, right? That's the same idea. I know how to do it now. I know how to fucking model an entire stadium within the Unreal Engine. But it's tedious. So I'll pay $50 probably to buy it and then use that guy's asset and hope that it's good and inside and out, the whole thing. That's the risk, I guess.
Yep. So
We're adding to the backlog one way or another, whether it's creating them or buying them or downloading them. That backlog's growing. That's what we're here for.
So we had Justin on last week, right? Julie's brother, right?
And yes.
Cool dude. After we got done with the podcast here, we started going through my old shit. And you might have saw this, or I might have told you. We were going through my old Pokemon cards. So that was a lot of fun. But then when we were going through them...
Yeah, tell the audience what you pulled up.
Oh, I'll show you. I got it right here. We pulled up this bad boy. So I was, like, pretty excited. Now, here's the thing. I don't... This
ain't
is definitely...
no joke. That's a nice card.
This is not one of, like, the crazy, crazy expensive ones. But it might be worth something, I think. You know, hopefully. So we'll see. And I actually...
Did you look it up?
Yeah, but it's scattered. You know what I really have to do is you have to send them away to get graded. And then they send it back. They put it in that sealed thing or whatever, and you leave it in that. But, like, this is, like, a first edition Machamp. And then I have, like, I don't know. There's, like, 30 or so other foil or other holos I have. Mewtwo, Snorlax, just... ton of them. Venusaur I have. There's a
crazy. And they look like they're in good condition.
Yeah. Y'all, yeah. They're all in great condition. They were kept in.
Now's the time, man. Yeah. They're back in style.
These are all hollows. All of them.
That's something else.
So that's pretty neat. Oh, and while I have it here, I love old shit. I love nostalgia shit. So this is a coin from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. A commemorative coin. That's this is worth, cool. I think, like $200 or something like that, too. I have a shitload of turtle shit here. That's my little nostalgia rant. Because I want to start looking up on eBay. Like, I have a ton of this shit around here, and I want to start, like, going through it and seeing what all this crap is worth, because I've just been sitting on all this stuff, like, really forever.
You should, man. Build yourself a little database inside Excel and just start cataloging it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know these things...
Look it up. I mean, there's sites that do it.
Like, I know the normal Beanie Babies aren't worth that much, but this set from McDonald's is Ronald McDonald House ones. I got the three other ones that go with this. That's worth something.
But probably worth just, $1 or $2.
Just random crap. It's fun. I like seeing what's worth something and what isn't. And... while I'm thinking about it, too. If we, by the 30th, if we hit my goal here of 250 while we're live on a stream, whether it's here, whether it's, you know, just my normal stuff or whatever, or if we're on Backlog's channel, if we hit the 250, I got a $20 Steam card key to give out. So for anyone that's in chat and following the channel, we'll do a raffle. We hit that. So that's exciting. I want to do that. So let's make that happen. What have you been playing lately? Did you mention that? I know you said you're off of Tarkov, but aside from doing the 3D stuff, is there any game you started or are thinking about starting?
I jumped into some Stadia games just to play. I played some Uno. I played some Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just trying to like move outside of the Tarkov life. Now, funny enough, one of the last things I did in Tarkov was spend a shit ton of money on graphics cards. That's a big deal in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I maxed out my Bitcoin generator, which you can make in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, the Bitcoin economy in that game, I guess they wanted to, people were too rich, right? Because they got to the Bitcoin generator fast enough and the Bitcoins were worth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they deflated the price of the Bitcoins from $1 million a piece to $200,000 a piece, which is a significant decline.
Oh, that's huge.
You're spending a ton of time and energy and effort in the game to get this Bitcoin farm up, and the maximum you can get is 50 graphics cards, and you can produce one graphics or one Bitcoin every 10 hours. And fucking A, I spent so much time and effort into that, and I maxed it out. And then for the last 2 weeks, I've just been pumping out Bitcoins while I haven't been playing the game. I go in and I collect the Bitcoin and I close it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the most expensive items in the game is a case. Because inventory is a big deal in the game, you get cases that contain more space. And you can use them to, you know, you put your guns in one case, you put your other shit in another case, and then you can have a more modular, cleaner inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fucking logged in and got all these Bitcoins and then bought this case. And they just changed it so that one Bitcoin gets generated every 10 hours. Now it's every 90 hours. So not only did they deflate the cost of the Bitcoin, now it takes 90, or the price of the Bitcoin, now it takes 90 hours to generate one where it used to take 10.
That's
so
people crazy.
Are wondering what the fuck is going on. And since I spent a lot of real life time into it, it kind of pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
But the saving grace is that I generated a ton of Bitcoins, which allows me, like before they put this dampener on it, and I was able to buy that case. And so now my inventory has tripled. Basically, because of the money I've spent.
But you don't play anymore.
But I have no desire to play it.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. What I've been doing is the 3D modeling. I've been, mm-hmm. for the last week, I've just kind of been going in and I got a I got a trial for Cinema 4D, which is a 3D modeling tool that I kind of know because they have a light version that's free.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to be able to export the files, and you need to have the paid version for that, but they have a 30-day trial for free. So I did that so I could export. And so I started getting into the, you know, the Sportatorium, just trying to break it down into, I mean, it's millions of objects. The Sportatorium is millions of objects. And so what I was doing was compressing them and isolating sections of the stadium and turning them into single objects as opposed to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if you were to take a, you know, all the windows of a fucking building break and try to put them back together. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And so I was using different tools to select and change the angles to be able to only select certain areas. And so I learned a lot. I don't know if it was unnecessary or not, but the more I learned in these tools, they kind of share similar concepts, you know, how to grow, how to enlarge or shrink or duplicate, or similar concepts within across these tools. And so I feel like I've learned a bit more that will help me in the journey on the, it's kind of like putting a pin on the last journey. The last journey was this 3D modeling inside of 3D modeling tools. Mm-hmm. I'm not as excited about that. I was more excited about that than Photoshop. So I was doing that over top of Photoshop, but that led me to now this Unreal Engine. And I can do similar work, but within an environment that I can click a button and run around that environment. I can't do that in the hundreds of hours I've spent on the different sets that I've made for the podcast and all that. I could make all of that right now in the same world and not, not put up with a lot of the shit that I put up with in these tools. Mm-hmm. Because the Unreal Engine makes it easier. So I kind of wish I'd been using this sooner. But I'm at this new juncture in my life where it's like the tools I'm using are going to make what I've been trying to do for years easier, but I have to recreate everything there.
Right.
But before I do that, I'm taking the training courses because one of my problems is I like to learn from the ground up on my own.
Takes a lot of time to do that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time, and you miss stuff. You miss shortcuts that people know. If if you didn't know all the key shortcuts, any of them, Control C, Control X, Alt Tab, if you didn't know those, and you never learned them, you didn't know they existed, and you're using Windows, and then fucking 2 years later, someone comes along and is like, hey, did you know you can just press Alt Tab to get to another app, and, you know, Control C copies, and you're like, whoa, what? You blow your mind. It's a similar concept. You know, it's like, I want to go through the training so that the basics that most people know will be embedded in me so that I don't miss the easy basic concepts that could get me around it. Mm-hmm. And so I am taking the time because I think it's worth it. It's not 90 hours. It's not 100 hours. It's 15 hours.
That's reasonable.
Two work days.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
And if you add that first, you know, the first 5-hour tutorial, so we're talking 20 hours. So that's a half a work week.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable to learn a skill that you could make millions of dollars on. You could end up, if you have the desire, all of it's free. You can do it all within this tool. I don't see why the fuck not.
Yeah, I don't know why I've never
looked
into that stuff because it's super interesting.
I feel like I feel like you have the mindset to create games. I don't know about the tech. Like, I don't know technically. I don't know what you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you desire to know technically, but I know that you have that complex mindset of, you know, you'd be able to set up some cool fucking traps or set up some cool story bends, or, you know, I don't know what the right words are, but like the blueprints of a story, the blueprints of any video game. You know, especially if it has a story element to it, I feel like you would be good at that.
That's what I want to do is make a simple narrative game with some artwork and some cool music and like start with something like that, like personally, and then go from there and see, you know, see
the whole thing right in the engine, dude.
Well, yeah, that's what you were telling me. That's great.
Yep. There he is, Ricky MMA. Now, shout out to Ricky MMA and MMA Marks. They have been really pushing through. They had another episode this week of their podcast. I think they're got to be 125, 130 episodes now in. And yeah, they're killing it. absolutely going to storyboard it inside this engine. Even if it's not the end result, it'd be cool to just kind of put it together. But I really do believe that that we can get some shit done within this thing. And I was telling our buddy actually recommended that we film something just to see what it's going to take to do a scene or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told him let's do it. So we're gonna film, and we're gonna do some basic film. But I'm pushing by the end of this weekend. I want to have this this course done. I want to watch the full 15 hours by the end of the weekend. I don't know if it's possible, but I'm gonna try. And so I can go into next week with a new skill set, and then recreate the baby face and the heel set so that we can bring back that show. Now, I don't know if you saw, Jim, but I sent you some messages. We were talking last week about some new show ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about the Gong Show. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well,
I love that. I like that idea.
Buddy and I ended up talking late into the night on that, really embellishing on what was possible behind it. And we think we should make it a show, because I tested it out on him. Okay, I pulled up Hot Tub Streams. I pulled up and I said, you're not allowed to look. You can only hear the streamer. And you have to listen for like a minute, right? And so he had to listen for a minute. And I selectively chose certain hot tub streamers. And some of them had 11,000, 12,000 people watching them. And some of them had 12 people watching them, or nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask them, do you fuck with this or not? Do you want to see them? But if you want to see the person on the other end, you got to give a fuck. And you only have so many fucks to give in this television show. And so as we go throughout this, you know, each episode, each of us who are contestants or you know, the hosts or whatever, you only have so many fucks to give.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to, two out of three of us have to give a fuck for the crowd to be able to see the person behind the voice on the stream.
See, and then so, you're making it more like a American Idol sort of thing.
Yeah.
When it's not like is it pull worth the it? Audience sort of thing.
Well, that's the thing, right? Say the audience wants to give a fuck.
Now, I want audience participation. Either. I want them voting.
Well,
on
no,
something.
That's going to be a key factor. So the audience has the override, right? But okay. The audience can only give five fucks too.
Okay.
Right. So if we say no, the audience, you know, there's a five limit poll for the audience as well. Like they can say yes or no, and if the vote is no, we move forward. And so each contestant, and we could do this differently every week. We could choose a game, we can choose a type of streamer, we can choose you know, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
streamer
ASMR,
roulette.
Like we go through the yeah, streamer roulette basically is what it is. And it's like it's called you fuck with this. You fuck with it?
I fuck with it.
And you have to give a fuck. If you like it, you have to give a fuck. And you only have so many fucks to give. Once you're all out of fucks, you give no more fucks.
I don't know, man. I rarely have any fucks to give.
So, but that's the thing, right? That's the Simon Cowell. I don't give a fuck about this. And so you won't. And two out of three of us have to give a fuck. And so you might be that factor that... If you like, it takes a lot to win you over.
Man,
you
I might just don't end, give a fuck.
and maybe we should let our fucks roll over to the next show. Maybe if you end the show with four fucks to give, you start the next
keep
show with
all
nine
those
fucks. To
fucks.
Give.
Mm.
Yeah, and then you can give some fucks to the audience.
You're gonna share your fucks.
Yeah, and then so here's the cool thing, right? Yeah, that's true. That's true. Donations help. Like if people come in and donate to you or whatever, right? And then we would get extra fucks to give. So we could gift some fucks. But imagine if this show took off And streamers, we got to a point where like you could submit your show to get it, see if we want to give a fuck or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so people be coming
and
like posting in the chat, hey, give a fuck to this guy. And then people be like, dude, we were on Give a Fuck. They gave a fuck about me.
No, that's why you...
a little clip. We gave a fuck about you.
You gotta do that, like, right from the get-go and, like, make it seem like it's bigger than it is and just get people to, like, sign up and shit. And then we have a base of people we can pick from or whatever and just do it.
And then just like American Idol, whatever, we get guest hosts to come in and help give fucks. And if we can get some famous, you know, bigger, popular guest host to come in and see if they help give a fuck. I think Colt Cabana might be down for something like that.
You think he gives a fuck?
He's the kind of guy who would like to do this.
So he gives,
I don't know.
He,
well, I don't want to assume.
Yeah, he might give a fuck.
But he seems like the kind of guy who would like to do shows like that where you give a fuck or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two more chances, buddy and I, to be on TV for AEW. So on Saturday night, we're going to AEW. And on Wednesday night, we're going. And we will be. If you watch AEW live on Saturday night, 10 o'clock TNT, 10 to midnight, and then Wednesday of next week at its normal time because NBA playoffs are done or whatever. So next week, Wednesday at 8 to 10 on TNT, you are going to see Buddy and I. I got us seats that are literally unstoppable. And Colt Cabana was saying in his stream that he will upgrade his viewers as they go on tour to new seats. And I said, bitch, I'm on the front row. You're going to have to put me in the ring if you want to upgrade my seat. Because I want to get in that ring and take a bump. But Buddy doesn't think I have it in me. He don't think I know how to take bumps. And I told him, bitch, I don't care if I know how to take a bump. I'm taking a bump if they ever say they want to put me in the ring. I'll take a bump.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a bump is?
No. Not the kind of bump
he's
I'm thinking
over
of.
There. Yeah, no. So a bump in wrestling is a move. Take a move.
Right. Oh, okay.
Land, you know, they throw you on the ground, they powerbomb you, whatever.
So I wanted Snitsky to body slam us.
Yes, exactly, see? And so if you take a body slam, taking that body slam is called a bump.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can take a move badly. Like, you can be the reason that the move is bad, and you're the one receiving the move. It could be your fault if you're bad at bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I was telling Buddy that we could go take some bumps, and he shot up like a lion real quick. Like, what, bitch? No, I ain't never taking a bump again. I've been through. He's the master of bumps. And I says to him, I'll get us in the ring at an AEW show. You tell me you're not going to take a bump in AEW in the middle of that ring? I don't believe him. He says he wouldn't do it. I would do it. And then we got into talking about how I don't know shit about bumps, but don't understand. I don't care. I take a bump. I don't care if it looks pretty.
I can't. I'm sorry. I cannot just help but think about cocaine when you're talking about bumps. I can't.
We are on that green crack. You know what I'm saying? So, anyways, Gene Snitsky. We're gonna have to get him in the movie too.
Mm-hmm. He was in a movie. Was it 100 Acres of Hell or something? He did a horror movie not that long ago. 1,000 Acres of Hell or something.
I bet Snitsky. How well do you know him?
I don't know him well. He was on a podcast we did that never got published like forever ago.
Okay,
at this
so it's
point.
Not like you
but
would message him and be like,
I would message him. Like we have before. He's a local guy. You know.
For example, I know Todd. Right, I know one of the Viking Raiders, and I know Colt Cabana.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to go to one guy I know and say, "Hey, you know the other guy I know," and form that bridge.
Mm-hmm. See, that's nice.
The pin for the what? I don't know, but I'm in the middle of a podcast, so I will try to find it after. Yeah, no. And so, you know, I'm obviously touting my knowledge a little bit, but I did that. And I went back to, and they both said, yeah, we know the fucking awesome person. And so it's like, cool. Being a bridge to, you know, a pseudo bridge, and it helps them probably, you know, hey, I knew that fucking guy you know. Or I met, ran into this guy you know. If they ever see each other in the industry,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they wouldn't mention me at all, and it would just be like they would have a fucking closer bond that way. I don't know. It feels cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to say, do you know Snitsky enough to...
Hey, he's not my boy or anything, but like, it's someone I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't have a problem messaging.
Well, once you get him on the list of being your boy, because he'll be there one day, he'll want to be your boy. He'll find out about you. He'll say, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. I was on a podcast with that guy. Mm-hmm. That's what he's going to be saying to people when it's all said and done. But you got to vision what you want. You got to have a... If you go to step on a step and your brain thinks the step is there, but there's no step there, you fall. Because your brain is trying to go somewhere that doesn't exist. So you have to set up a vision that can exist. It has to be realistic. It has to be something you can achieve. And you can build to that vision and you can make it exist if it doesn't today. So you can build a step and you can step down and your brain will be appropriate. Or you can see that the step doesn't exist and recognize it. And if you want to make it exist, you can go make it exist. I want a certain type of game that doesn't exist right now. And I'm going to try and go fucking make it. That's the goal for me. And it's going to be hard. And it's not going to be only me who does it. But I'm going to take some courses. And I'm going to get to a point where I can do it. And it may not be that good. So I'll have to employ people who can do it. But I know the game doesn't exist. I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it exist. And I think that it could.
Do it.
So
let's do it.
That's a goal. Let's do it. And my idea might not be close to what you want to see exist. So you got to make your own version of whatever you want to see.
That's why we'll have our own library of games.
Yes.
They're I already all have unique.
A bunch of them. I sent you one or two. I got another one. Two or three, actually. Buddy and I were just kind of going over them. We'll talk about them offline. But I don't know, man. A lot of this Movember stuff and focusing on the positivity. It feels good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, it's good to do. It's good to do good. It feels good. And talking about this shit's important, man. You know, you get the more I talk about it, the more the people within my circle talk about it, the more people outside of that circle talk about it. You know, it just hopefully creates kind of a chain reaction.
Yeah.
That's kind of the
and
idea.
You can't forget about the physical health. Can't forget about the physical health. That's a huge factor for me. Just letting myself get to the worst shape I've ever been. And now Buddy's here helping me and helping himself. We're pushing through. This guy's a beast. You should see him. We're fucking killing it at the gym. We didn't go today. We have a personal trainer who's actually doing a really good job trying to set up a plan for us long term, not just a quick, you know, hey, lose 20 pounds in a month and feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like setting up the baseline. And he's saying, I want you on the treadmill, but don't be on the treadmill right now, more so than building up your leg muscles so that you can be on the treadmill for longer later. You know, that's kind of how he's going about it. Rather than, hey, yeah, just go do cardio for an hour and come back and talk to me. He's telling us why that's not necessarily a good idea month one.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going from being able to do a couple of standing squats to a bunch of standing squats and a couple of push-ups to a bunch of, you know, like this and that. It's building that core baseline and it feels... You know, I'm 40 years old. That's like, man, I've already fucking done that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to do the base. Yes, you do. You have to humble yourself. Your legs are not as powerful as they were before. Your biceps are not as powerful. You cannot do a pull-up like you used to be. At one point, I could do 20 pull-ups, 30 pull-ups. No chance.
I don't think I've ever been able to do a pull-up in my life.
But if you got yourself to be able to, it's not like you would forever be able to. You have to continue to work those muscles. And then one day you won't be able to do those pull-ups if you don't do them. Mm-hmm. Same thing for our bodies, right? You eat a certain way. It's harder to process the better foods at first. Once you start doing it, your intestines flush out the bad shit. And, you know, you go through some growing pains. And especially as it gets older, I mean, it's not as easy. But you know, we took a little tonight. We took off. We had a heavy workout yesterday, but our trainers, like, 3 days a week right now is good right now, because you need to mm-hmm. rest between. You need to, well, body needs to come back. But we're hitting it 4 or 5, sometimes 6. But this week we're taking a little safe, a little easier. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we got another personal training session, and we're going into the weekend so that we can walk. We want to be able to walk
mm-hmm.
on Saturday at AEW.
Oh yeah, you're gonna need to be able to move. Well, this made me think.
Save my voice.
This made me think too, because the one thing I haven't done these last 2 years with Movember is the physical portion of it, and there is a physical portion of it. And I expect everyone in the Backlog Network to be on my Movember team this year. You're all joining my team, whether you grow the stash or not.
Fuck yeah.
Join the team and promote it with me. Let's get $2,000. But the physical part is, I forget the actual number, whether it's 10K, 20K, 50K, 100 kilometers in the month. There's a running, like...
Oh, yeah, gotta get it.
So they want you to run... Right? Yeah, as a team, or everyone individually runs whatever K it is for the month, and it's just a goal to, you know, promote men's health, get everyone in better shape, and, you know, commit to doing the miles or the kilometers or whatever the hell it is. But I think I want to do that this year and do the physical portion as well.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Uh-huh. And get everyone, and
yeah,
get maybe involved. Some we could have like a meetup at some point, hopefully one of these days. In November, we could have a meetup and we could all party and raise money all together live. Imagine that. That would be awesome.
Have our first Backlogicon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That'd be a good month to have it, November.
Mm-hmm.
The Backlogicon. I think conventions financially are a way to go. Like, my project management skills, I think, would help us to be able to run fucking full conventions and be able to support this shit.
Between me and you, we can easily plan some kind of, you know.
So just gotta get it, you know. And now that my like I said, going back to the work thing, right, now that my mind is not going to be coming off of work frustrated from my computer issues and all that, it sucks coming off of that, sitting down at your computer, because then if you have a frustrating issue within the Unreal Engine or something, it compounds it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, when it's not really a big deal, but you've been dealing with little deals all day. It's going to change some things. I'll be able to focus a little bit more on getting shit done on the computer.
Yep.
Because a lot of times I just dilly-dally. So, I'm excited,
man. That's tremendous. Dude, I would have no patience for that shit. I would fucking throw the thing out the window.
I came close, but I made it. I made it to the other side. I got this new laptop for work. Gonna make my life better there. Then I got my double 49-inch ultra widescreen monitors here that are that wide, that early. And so that should make game design a lot easier, because I can see more of the level, more of the assets. But anyways, I digress. So what you got coming up? What are you focusing on next for your backlog, your games? You want to finish 7, right?
Well, I finished 7, so now I'm kind of in that deciding mode where I want to see if there's a whole game playthrough I want to focus on right now. I think tonight I'm going to try doing... I've been starting to get back into doing the Bloodborne run, so I might do... You know, keep streaming and do a couple runs, Bloodborne, the no hit any percent. So I want to keep doing some streams of that over the next couple of weeks. And yeah, I have to pick a game. That Star Wars, what is it? The Fallen Order,
Force Unleashed,
or whatever. No,
not Fallen Order. You're right.
Fallen Order. Yeah, I want. That's one that's up there. And Remnant. It's probably between that and Remnant from the Ashes. Honestly, it's probably between
that,
those two.
Yeah. There's also the Chronos from the Ashes as well. Have you seen that one?
No. Is that a separate game?
It's on Stadia. I don't know if it's a prequel or not. I was going to say,
is it a DLC? Or does it maybe not have anything to do with it at all?
It's on Stadia, so you should have access to it. It's called Chronos Before the Ashes.
Okay, I'll have to look at that. Doesn't sound like it would be the same.
Let me see what they're...
But, oh, maybe so if it's released before in December the Ashes. 1st.
Okay, so it came out in 2016.
Oh.
Kronos. And I believe it's the same company. Gunfire really? Games. Let's see. I could be completely off here. Yeah, no, it's the same. Okay, so Kronos came out in 2016. And then 2018, they did Darksiders 3. The same company. And then 2019, they did Remnant from the Ashes, which was, I guess, a Kronos offshoot. And then they did, in 2020, Kronos Before the Ashes, which I don't know if it's just a remake or an overhauled version of the game. So if you play Kronos, that's the game. It's a revamped version of the version of the first one.
Oh, I got you. It's
that didn't have as much acclaim.
Yeah, so it's basically the first one just kind of remade.
Yeah, remastered, it looks like.
Computer is... There we go.
So yeah, check that out. Maybe you play that one first and then play Remnant.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look. Well, yeah, since it's on Stadia, I'll have to give it a whirl here. But yeah, as far as tonight goes, I'm probably going to do some Bloodborne runs.
Nice. Well, I think I'm going to let you stream. I'm not sure if you're going to log off before you stream or if you're going to go straight into streaming, but I don't have too much more for the podcast to talk about tonight, and I want to make sure you get to your gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty much I was going to raid, but I'm just going to throw up some tunes and then go into the Movember stuff and start up my
and
stuff.
And come back and start streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're that way.
When you get this at the end, like tomorrow, whatever, just package it up, download it, and put it on this thing and send it over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put the episode out tomorrow.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't listen on the audio version only, it would be awesome if you go into your favorite iTunes or Spotify or Google, YouTube, music playlists and search for our podcast and subscribe to it. It doesn't cost money. It just allows you to potentially download the podcast every time we launch it or release it. That puts us higher on lists, allows more people to see who we are. I got an email that we're in the top 100 in the Netherlands under the gaming channel. I don't know if that's real. They didn't ask for money, but I thought it was cool.
Well, that's a good sign. And I like the Netherlands. And then, Amsterdam's chill. I've been there.
Yeah. Anyone from the Netherlands wants to fly us out, we'll do a free podcast live from the Netherlands.
I want to do it live from Day Damn Cream.
The Netherlands. You know, when you watch these YouTube, or these hot tub streamers, these girls, like, guys are offering them trips to the other side of the world, and Bora Bora, and you want to do this and that, and these girls are like, all I had to do was get in a bikini, get in my fucking bathtub, and talk. And now they're being offered to go to Hawaii and shit. We're putting in the work is all I'm saying. So send us to the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. We want to do a podcast from the Netherlands, but we don't want to have to pay for it. We want the Netherlands people to pay for it because we're famous.
Yeah, we're famous.
We deserve it in the Netherlands. We're in the top 100 gaming podcasts ever in the Netherlands as of the other day.
That's right.
So download our podcasts, click like, comment if you could, even if you know if you can review the podcast. And you know, in the past I would have said just be honest, but now I'm going to say just go in there and say we're awesome.
Yeah, say we're fucking awesome, and then we can do cooler shit when more people watch us and stuff. And cool shit's fun. Right. I like doing cool shit.
Cool shit's pretty fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool shit's pretty good shit. Please, guys, listen to what he's saying over here with the Movember stuff. Jim, if you could, tell them how they can donate if they're just listening via the podcast. and not clicking on any links. Maybe they have to go somewhere to click a link, or can you give them a little instruction there?
Yeah, a super easy way to do it is just go to my Twitch channel and go to the panels, and my Twitch channel is just twitch.tv/gdinsomniac23, and it's just right in the first panel. You can donate through there. If you're just going through your browser and you want the actual URL, it's tiltify.com/@gdinsomniac23/fathers-day, and that'll get you to the Tiltify campaign. But if you don't, if you can't donate, you know, and just want to get some information, go to Movember.com. There's a lot of great mental health resources there. You can see there's awesome stuff there. Really, really cool. I haven't even gotten to dig through all of it. Like, just for an example, for Father's Day, they have this program called Family Man, and it's just all about how to be a good dad and how to raise your kids, you know, tips and tricks and all, you know, advice from other dads. And it's just, they do some really, really, really cool stuff. You know, the longer I do this, the more I find out about them, the more I like them. So we're going to continue to support them. So again, if you can, that's guys, awesome. I encourage you to do the same. But yeah, that's it for me tonight with the podcast. I don't know if you got anything else, awesome. Kevin.
Well, that's it for me as well. No, Jim, it's always a pleasure, and I appreciate you running it tonight off of your side. And yeah, like Ricky said, fucking donate, you cheap bastards. Yeah,
even the price of a cup of coffee, everything helps. Takes like 60 seconds to do it.
That's right.
You know, it's your yeah. cup of your morning coffee. Yeah. Well,
that's episode 122 in the books, Jim. You fucking killed it. Until next time.
All done. Thanks again, guys. We will see you.
Alrighty. Well,
and
thanks
yeah.
for listening, everybody.
I'll be back with some Bloodborne shortly. We're gonna throw up some tunes, some Movember info, and then we'll get right to it. So thanks for sticking around if you do, guys. See you next time.